Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
Willie and D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It's noon on Thursday, it's football season, which means it's time for Silly Underdog Picks. Willie Donick, take it away.
That's the best theme song on radio, man. Gosh, I love that song.
Shout out to my brother Reese. He discovered this years ago, this movie, Willie Dynamite.
If y'all hadn't seen Willie Dynamite.
Related to Napoleon by chance?
You may not want to see it. Make sure the kids are out the room, okay?
Willie Dynamite is a pimp, by the way.
Yes, exactly. So make sure the kids are out of the room.
So not related to Napoleon Dynamite.
No. Okay. Very different. Something very different. But greetings. This is your commissioner speaking for Silly Underdog Picks 2024, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Once again, we're glad to have them aboard. Week number two of the competition. We had a great, spirited week one. The contestants are back. This is the 30th year of Silly Underdog Picks. Shout out to George Plaster. And what do we call that, Adam?
The Pearl Anniversary.
This is the Pearl Anniversary of this fine competition. Joining us on the line, first, it is Chase McCabe, a.k.a. The Suit, who is very busy today because he is not in the studio with us, so something's going on with him. Chase, where are you?
Well, Willie, first things first, and I say this with all the love in my heart, you are the farthest thing from a pimp that I've ever met. That's what makes the song so ironic.
Oh, man.
But, no,
I'll take that as a compliment.
Yes, I have a lunch meeting today, and so, you know, I feel like George has done this a few times over the years where, you know, he's been at lunch to do Silly Underdog Picks, but I'm here and I'm ready to go.
Okay, are you focused? What did you order for lunch?
Focused. I think we're going to do a salad.
Will there be a protein source on there?
Chicken. Okay. Definitely chicken.
Chase, you know full well you don't make friends with salad. You know that full well.
You don't make friends with salad.
Had to sneak in that Simpsons reference for Chase, but you don't win friends with salad.
Also joining us on the line, the one and only Forever Titan, Chris Sanders, who is hanging out over West End Avenue at Montgomery Bell Academy. Chris.
D-Mace, how we doing?
Hey, man, ain't you supposed to be mentoring some damn kids or something? Damn them kids, man. Shoot.
The phone line says MBA, so clearly Chris is calling from a line at the school, neglecting his responsibilities to do
exactly.
This.
Yeah, y'all got beat last week. Yes, Innsworth, get some.
That's the only thing I can say. Hey, easy, man. Hey, I'm friends with you.
I saw you on the sideline over there yelling and screaming at the kids.
Dude, my shirt I couldn't really move too much.
Matt Hasselback from Innsworth was on our show this morning.
I'm mad at y'all.
Why?
He said you tried to fight him after the game.
I believe it, too.
Like Chris, that sounds like Dwayne.
I believe it, too.
Yeah, if he was slipping, I was going to kick him. I mean, I was.
Yeah, you reverted back to that that guy that in the picture that Nick posted yesterday.
Which one? Who? Oh,
you of the picture Nick posted. You ain't see it?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, snap. It was you in the Ohio State uniform. You were looking a little bit like you had a Gumby high top / Bobby Brownish. It was lopsided. It was like you were trying to go for the Gumby, but your mama said no. So you told the guy not to do it.
Hey, D-Maze, I remember when you had your hair like Jerry Rice and he got braids.
That never happened.
Hey, you got to know when to let go.
Oh, man.
Okay, but man, why you got to hit me that low, though, man?
What? What about what?
About Innsworth.
Because it's the truth. Y'all got mollywopped in the first half. Luckily, y'all did come back and make it a game, so what a contest. But y'all did get mollywopped in the first half.
Give up.
Okay, so Coach Sanders, can we get a visual here? You're not in the library, right, doing this? Where did you find a spot on the campus to do this?
What? Did the show right now?
Yeah, to make the pick today. You had to get in a secluded area.
I'm in the office.
Okay, so you're out. Okay, this is good.
He's
this
in his office in BA.
Can you imagine being in the middle of the library having this conversation? Like, wow, hey, Coach Sanders,
first
what's he doing?
First of all, awesome.
Chris ain't going to the library.
Exactly, that's what I was going to say.
Chris popped a movie into the TV in the classroom and said, I'll be back in 30 minutes.
I love teachers like that.
Oh, I love you. Exactly.
Those are your favorite teachers.
Usually the subs did that.
Yeah, pop in the film.
Yes.
Good to go. All right.
Yo, that's cold, man.
But now, let's get to Chris's work last week in week one and recap the picks. Week one of the competition, Chris Sanders led off the season with the inaugural pick, or the first pick of the season. He took the Commodores of Vanderbilt, a 13.5-point dog against Virginia Tech. He believed he was anchoring down. Vanderbilt takes the 17-0 lead, only to fall behind 27-20, and looked like it was an opportunity that would slip away. But no, they dug down deep. They tied it. They had the game-winning field goal in regulation go wide to the right. It looked like another missed opportunity. But no, Diego, Pavia, and crew got it done in OT, 34-27. Chris jumps into the lead. Chris, down.
But first of all, who says he is anchoring down? First of all, I mean, you can't say it like that. You got to put some soul in. He's anchoring down. You can say he was anchoring down. I mean, you can't do that. But at the end of the day, D-Mace!
Shut up.
D-Mace!
Shut up.
D-Mace!
Shut up. I don't like you.
The instant replay, I don't know if we have the tape, but when Chris took Vanderbilt, D-Mace, the defending champion, tossed two pens. They both went airborne and crashed into the studio off of two different walls. He wanted the Commodores, but great pick for Chris Sanders. He is in the lead.
13, let's go.
Chase McCabe had the next pick. He went with Notre Dame, a 3-point dog, and he explained, look, I think the wrong team's favorite in this game. They were going down to Texas A&M, and yes, the Fighting Irish looked impressive, and they pulled away late and won it 23-13. So a small gain, but a victory nonetheless for Chase McCabe. Chase, you're on the right foot.
Hey, look, singles will win you ball games. Just get runners on base. That's what I needed.
Unless you strand them on base.
Yeah, you got to have somebody knock them in.
Exactly.
Hey, you know what, Sparty? I took time out of an interview to tell somebody to tell your former quarterback that got you a robe, hello. You know, the least you could do is show a little respect.
Hey, listen, there's only one guy and one guy only that can call me Sparty. And that's Les Steckel. That's Les Steckel. That's the only he called me Sparty or Spartan all the time. So I reserve that for Coach Les Steckel.
Okay.
But you can say it every once in a while.
That's fair.
When I win, you can say it.
Adam Vingan had the third pick. This was his dive into the competition. And so we kind of learned the tough part about the silly underdog picks. Because remember, there are no points for a cover. You have to have the underdog win outright. So Adam made a very sensible pick. Took the Stanford Cardinal, a 9-point home dog against TCU. Of course, what conference is Stanford in now, Adam?
The Atlantic Coast Conference.
Yes, and where is Stanford located? Did they move?
California.
They're located in Palo Alto, California. That's not close to the Atlantic Coast. But
I didn't
they're
think
in that
so
lead.
Either.
Stanford led in the fourth quarter. They took the lead. They were hanging around. I fell asleep before the end of it, I have to tell you. But Adam, you were right there. They covered. But they fell short to the Horned Frogs, 34-27. The heartache.
It was a tough loss, but then again, maybe Stanford deserved it as an ACC purist. I don't want any California teams in my league. So maybe they deserved it. I lost, but maybe I also won because Stanford got a taste of it.
There is kind of a balance with this competition.
But
Adam, by the way, is a no-holes-barred Duke basketball fan especially.
Yes. A proud native of Durham, North Carolina.
So Adam is 0-1. Now let's get to D-Mace. His first pick of the season, trying to go for the grand salami. He took the Blue Hose of Presbyterian. Now this sounds, on paper, this sounds like it's got a shot. The Blue Hose, 28-point dogs at Mercer. Now Mercer is not going to be confused with, you know, John Robinson's USC Trojans of the 70s or, you know, Barry Switzer's Oklahoma Sooners of the 80s or the U in the, you know, it's Mercer. Final score, Mercer 63, Presbyterian 10. And it wasn't really that close.
Yeah, it really wasn't. That was a frustration pick. That's what that was. And I blame myself for it. I let Chris and Adam get in my head because they took my picks. And I just wasn't thinking.
Hey, Willie, can I ask a question real quick?
Oh, absolutely.
To the panel. You know, you mentioned Les Steckel earlier, Derek.
Yes.
When he would draw up a deep play and Steve was looking for a deep, wide-open receiver, it was Chris Sanders, not Derek Mason. So you may need to pick your own strategy.
No.
You know, every once in a while he did. So that's what I'm looking for, that every once in a while where I can win one of these big games. You know, and hey, I'm capable of doing it. You know?
Nah, this is I'm the king this year.
Oh, wow.
Well, okay. We're going to find out. Let's get week two's picks. Here we go. Here's the order this week. Chase McCabe will have the first pick. Adam Vingan the second pick. D. Mace third. Chris Sanders fourth. And, of course, Chris is in the lead with 13.5 points. Chase with 3. Adam and D. Mace looking for their first win. So let's get the first pick of the week with Chase McCabe. The suit.
All right, so I am I'm going to go to a matchup between the SEC and the ACC. And this was a close one last year. This is a rematch from last year. I'm going to take the California Golden Bears.
Chase, before you continue, you took Derek's pick.
Seriously.
He's losing his mind in the studio
there
right
was
now.
Something was wrong with my computer yesterday. I'm starting to believe y'all are hacking my computer.
I got you back in the group chat. Actually, it was Nick who got you back in the group chat, so none of this conspiracy talk anymore.
I think y'all are hacking me, man. It's a conspiracy between everybody to get me out of this competition, to make sure I don't win.
It's tough for the defending champ. It's tough.
Gosh,
I guess
man.
That was your accomplice in the wood chipper.
Damn!
All right,
it's
Suit.
It's just you and your eagle. It's just you and your eagle. But not this weekend. I'm going to take the Golden Bears of California plus 13 against Auburn. It was a close game last year. Auburn beat them 14-10. I think Cal goes in and gets revenge this year.
So California, the Golden Bears. Yes, California. Proud member of what conference?
The Atlantic Coast
Conference.
The any coast conference.
Is a 13-point dog
basically
on the road against 1-0 Auburn. And so that game is going to be Saturday afternoon on ESPN2, which will I have that in my house? Will anybody that has DirecTV have that in their house? That remains to be seen. There's a feud going on between DirecTV and ESPN. It is kind of a bummer.
All right,
that brings us...
So, Willie, I, in honor of the founder of this competition, I hate to do this, but I got to run.
Okay. Well, Suit, good luck with your pick.
Thank you very much.
And enjoy your salad.
I will. Thank you.
All right. That brings us to Adam Vingan. He's focused. He's locked in, looking for his first ever win in the competition. I picture Adam coming around the corner out of the tunnel to this music.
Okay, so my first pick did not go well last week, though as Willie explained, it was close.
It was close. You're right
there.
I was
on the edge. But so Chase uses a wrestling song by a wrestler named Triple H as his entrance song for Silly Underdog Picks. And to quote Triple H, you look to your family, you look to your blood. When you're making certain decisions. So my sister Alyssa, my older sister Alyssa, is a proud alum of Tulane University. The Tulane Green Wave host the 17th ranked Kansas State Wildcats on Saturday. Tulane is a 9-point underdog against Kansas State. I am picking the Tulane Green Wave. to upset the Kansas State Wildcats in New Orleans. Plus nine.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
The Green Wave is indeed a nine-point dog playing, it says here, Benson Field at Yulman Stadium in New Orleans. Is that correct? They haven't moved this game to the Superdome.
The game is not at the Superdome.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Tulane, who's been really good, and of course we've seen Jaquan Jackson, we've seen Tajay Spears. Mm-hmm. They're looking for more against the 17th-ranked K-State Wildcats. Okay. That brings us to the defending champion, the 0-1 Derek Mason.
Go green, go white.
Oh yeah! All right.
This was on last night, by the way. Reese was on. I should have given you a heads up because I couldn't watch the games on ESPN. So I was flipping around trying to find something to watch. Reese was on.
Oh man, I got to pick. I have three games on my docket, but I have four until Chris picked the first one. Oh man, I thought about Carolina and Kentucky. That's gonna be a good game. It really is in Lexington. But I'm gonna go this week with
who's Presbyterian playing this week?
I have no idea. I'm gonna go down to Boone Pickens Stadium in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and I'm picking the Arkansas Razorbacks to defeat the number 16 Oklahoma State, whatever they are,
Cowboys.
I was about to say Sooners for a second there.
Mullets.
No. But the Cowboys.
The Gundies.
So they are -7.5.
Ooh.
A plus.
So I'm taking, Oklahoma State's -7.5. So I'm taking Arkansas to win that game.
Okay.
I thought about the South Carolina game in Kentucky. That's going to be a good game. I'm sure that's the game Chris is going to pick, I guarantee.
No, heck to the no.
We're going to find out in a moment. Exactly. Arkansas is a 7.5-point dog on the road at Oklahoma State. So we move on to the leader in the competition
Bobby
right
Petrino,
now,
I believe.
It is the one and only Chris Sanders, who has 13.5 points thanks to the Commodores.
That's a good singing right there.
Yeah,
that's
good high
notes.
Good
singing right there, Bob. I got a couple of games that I really, really like, but I'm going to go with this one. I'm going to go with BYU over SMU, +10.
I got good news for you. It's 11.5 on our official CBS Sports poll here.
So it was 12.
Don't push your luck. BYU, 11.5-point dog on the road at SMU. That conference. SMU now in the Big 12, correct?
SMU is now a member of the Atlantic Coast Conference.
The ACC.
Oh, wait a minute.
Can I change it?
Can you change it? You're locked
in, my friend.
Yes. Once you say it.
You had such conviction.
It's out your mouth. It's on the paper.
No, it's not the secret. No. You got it. It may win, Chris. You never know. It may win.
What had you turn so quickly on the Cougars?
I wanted to go with New Mexico State Liberty.
New Mexico State doesn't have any players left.
It's up to the panel. What do y'all want? It's up to y'all.
Once it leaves his lips, it's on the paper.
Card laid is a card played.
Oh, hey, that's how I see it.
That's what I would say.
No, we play spades, man. Once you lay that card, you can't pick it up.
That's a time-tested rule right there.
I agree.
All right, Chris Sanders has the Cougars. So let's recap, and then let me remind people that, unfortunately, this is may it rest in peace for now. Mm-hmm. We hopefully will come back. We do not have the online contest, but Nick Frazier is looking for you, a member of the people, to call and make the people's pick against the panel this week. They're 0-1. The panel, the people picked North Dakota State last week, a 10.5-point dog at Colorado. They led at the half. They did cover. No points against Dion and company. So the people are 0-1. Can you represent the people this week by calling 615-737-1025? Call in now. Get in.
What are they winning?
Make a pick.
What's the prize for
this? The prize is a pair of tickets to see Weezer at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, September 17th. So if you win, you will get a pair of tickets to see Weezer at Bridgestone Arena on September 17th.
Let's review the picks. Here we go. Week 2 of the competition, 2024 Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. The suit, Chase McCabe from lunch. A, ordered a grilled chicken salad. I don't know if it was grilled chicken or fried chicken. It was, but chicken was involved, and it was a salad.
He don't make friends with salad. I'm just saying.
California, a 13-point dog on the road at Auburn. California now a proud member of
the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Adam Vingan, rookie in the competition, looking for his first win, selects the Green Wave of Tulane, a 9-point home dog against 17th-ranked Kansas State. Derek Mason, with the third pick, goes with Arkansas, a 7.5-point dog on the road at Oklahoma State. Is that an old Southwest Conference matchup? Am I getting that right? This is history. This is going way back. I feel like Arkansas and Oklahoma State used to play a lot way back in the day. And finally, Chris Sanders, the leader in the competition, selects timidly because he almost did a 180, but he put the card down on the table, the BYU Cougars, an 11.5-point dog on the road down in Dallas at SMU.
Proud member of the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Yes. Well, those are the picks for week number two. Make sure you pay attention and pick for the people. That's coming up just around the corner. So, gentlemen, good luck in the second week of our competition.
Ooh.
Well, once again, each one of you, I wish you nothing but misery in this week's competition. Nothing but misery. Hope y'all lose by ungodly points. I hope y'all teams get blown out by combined 100 points.
All right, Chris, you're free to go. The movie is almost out in the classroom.
Yes.
The kids are trying not to fall asleep or throw the paper airplane, so you better get back over there.
Hey, man, I appreciate you. I still hope you guys lose, but I love you.
Make sure damn them kids.
Make sure there's no gum on your chair. Look before you sit. Look before you sit. That's all I'm saying. 615-737-1025. We will get the people's pick for silly underdog picks when we return. 1025-1063, the game. Tune into 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Gwinnett. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35, with coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, Derek Mason. We're awaiting the people's pick, and we do have someone on the line, Willie. Will you do the honors?
Yeah, I will. Michael has been poised and ready to go. He responded quickly. He wants to make a pick for the people. He wants to get the people on the board for our silly underdog competition presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. All right, Michael, are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay.
All right. So
fire away.
I'm going to go with the Memphis Tigers to upset Florida State University. Florida State University is going to continue the skid that they're on. And I would have really loved to see, at least according to FanDuel, it's the only thing that I looked up. Memphis is 3.5-point underdogs. I don't know what it is on y'all's official ruling that y'all are looking at. But I would have loved to see what this line was before FSU had this fall from grace.
I think Memphis has Troy this week.
What?
Yeah, I think so. If I'm looking at it correctly, Willie.
No.
Yes, so you're going to have to make another pick.
Yeah, Memphis has Troy this week. Yeah, you might have been looking at it previous
week.
Next week.
Yep, that's my bad. Okay, so off the cuff, I am going to go FIU beating Central Michigan then. They're 6.5-point dogs.
All right.
FIU. And I got to – now I'm trying to figure out what conference they are in.
I have no idea.
Well,
FAU or FIU?
Eastern Michigan.
He said FIU, right?
Okay, so that's Conference USA. FAU is – no,
it's FIU. I have it, Willie. It's Central Michigan, FIU. Central Michigan is minus 6.5, so I have it right here.
That's correct.
Yep.
So we have some action versus the – Conference USA. All right, so FIU is a 6.5-point home dog against Central Michigan. That's this Saturday on ESPN+. All right, Michael, you're representing the people. Great job pivoting after your initial pick was not on the board. So great job to go down to Pit Bull Stadium in Miami.
All right, yep. Let's go FIU.
All right. Yeah, thanks a lot, Michael. Appreciate the call, and good luck to you. Let's hope Michael likes Weezer.
Exactly. I think he's going to win that pick.
Yes, if Michael wins, he will get a pair of tickets to see Weezer at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, September 17th.
Sounds like I need to start quizzing myself on what conference some of these guys are in, because it is a jumbled mess.
Yeah, because they've changed conferences. It seems like they're dissolving conferences. It's just, it's crazy. It's crazy. The Pac-12 is not a Pac-2 or the Pac-3, whatever it is.
Has anybody called Merton Hanks in his office as the whatever his job is at the Pac-12?
There's
still offices
job?
There. Yeah. Like, isn't he something like he represents the Pac-12 network or he works in the media? This was a great NFL player at one time, but he's still working for the league.
Won Super Bowls and everything else. But okay, with the Pac-12, and I may have asked this question previously in, you know, months ago, but I know the football portion has moved. Teams left and moved. Basketball also, right?
Gone.
How about the other sports? Are
gone.
All sports gone?
Gone.
What the hell is Morton Hanks doing there? I thought at least if it was just a few of the sports that went, he still got to oversee volleyball, track, stuff like that. But I guess all of it's gone.
It's all gone.
Yes, I mean, what does he do?
He's just leading the pack. That's it.
The pack of?
Just
the pack of two.
The pack of two.
Yeah.
I mean, two makes a pack, right?
That's right. The guy in The Hangover, Zach Galifianakis, was the wolf pack of one. And then he met his buddies, his new friends.
Became a wolf pack of four.
I'm pretty sure he talks to Tommy a lot.
I'm sure. Him and Tommy first name basis.
Yeah. They go to lunch all the time. Yeah.
Earlier in the show, when we were answering Willie's Titans questions, the final question of the day, and we'll wrap up the question portion tomorrow heading into the weekend with the Titans opening the season in Chicago. The final question Willie asked today was straightforward. What is the Titans' record going to be this season? I said 7-10. Derek said 9-8. Willie said 8-9. Do I have that correct?
That is correct.
Yes.
Okay. So during that, we received some predictions. Cody from Jolton on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, said 10-7, 3-3 in the division, and a wild card berth. We also had a prediction from an unnamed texter. Let's think of another movie star here quickly, or television star. We'll just go with Liv Tyler because she was front of mind before.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all.
She's been on the front of
many men's
minds.
In fact, the other day, The Thing You Do, that movie was on with Liv Tyler in it.
Well, Independence Day was on. Was she? No, she was in Armageddon.
Armageddon.
That's right. Was on the other day.
Of course, with the Aerosmith song, Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
I love that song because I heard it in that movie.
Liv Tyler says 12-5.
12-5.
Wow.
Now, that's a daily high. We have not seen one that high.
So let's just go with 10-7, or let's go with, Derek said 9-8. So let's go double-digit wins. What has to break right in order for the Titans to be a double-digit win team when barely anybody would suggest that they are a double-digit win team?
I think I would answer that best by saying they need some big luck with health, and they need some good fortune with schedule not looking as tough as it does right now on paper. They need some breaks of a team has a rash of injuries, you catch them at the right time, and you win a couple of games that way. You obviously have to win a lot more close games than you lose. There will be, in any NFL season, a lot of swing games that are decided by a kick, a play here or there. And then the last part that I will say, D-Mace, is I want to see the T-Sweat Jeffrey Simmons duo in the middle of the line. I was listening to a podcast today about the matchup with the Bears. And they were saying the Bears' weakness is the interior of their offensive line. There's question marks there. And they talked about Jeffrey Simmons. They did not mention Devondre Sweat. And so I'm thinking, this is the first time we're going to see this and see if what we were seeing at practice plays out. So I think that's the kind of thing that can make the other players around them better. And so maybe the defense is better than people realize. To me, that is how you would get towards 10-7.
I do agree with you on one thing. I agree with you on a lot in there, but I do agree with you on one thing, really agree in particular, and that is the health of this team. If they can stay relatively healthy, they give themselves a shot. We've already discussed, you know, the depth behind them. It's mediocre at best. Because you got a lot of guys that haven't played a lot of football. You got, you know, rookies backing up veteran guys at certain positions. So that's going to be, to me, the central question. Can this team stay healthy? Because they haven't been able to do it over the last 2 years. But before that, they were relatively a healthy team. I don't know what happened the last 2 years. So first and foremost, like you said, Willie, they have to stay healthy. They don't have much margin of error here at all. So health is paramount with this team. And then two, I think some of these teams that we expect to just be teams that are going to get in the playoffs, they have to expect that one or two of these teams take a step back. I'm not saying that they go from worse, you know, from first to worst, but Houston taking a step back, meaning they win, they split the series between Houston, the Texans, excuse me, not Houston. Well, it is Houston Texans. Or they split with the Indianapolis coach. But I think in three of those games, Jacksonville, Houston, and Indy, they have to at least split with all three. But I think for them to get where they're going, they got to win one of the series. They have to beat one of these teams twice and then split the other two. They do that, they give themselves a chance. Even in the division, they give themselves a chance to win AFC South. And then that offensive line has to stay intact. I think a lot of what they hope happen is the offensive line plays a lot better. I'm not saying they have to be a top five offensive line in the National Football League, but they damn sure can't be a bottom five in the National Football League again. They can't do that in order for them to win or have a shot at the playoffs. So they have to stay healthy. They have to at least, at minimum, split with everybody in their division, hoping to beat one of these teams twice. And then they have to expect or hope that this offensive line is much better than what they have played over the last year and a half.
If I recall correctly, at one point during the Mike Vrabel era, the Titans were excellent in one-score games, correct?
Yes.
Enormously successful.
Unsustainably successful.
At the beginning of last year, you brought up the stat.
Yeah, we brought up that repeatedly while it was going on because the argument is always with that, whether you're talking about baseball, even hockey, even basketball, that it is a mark traditionally of a team that, quote, knows how to win, right? When you are winning the close games, that means you're doing the little things. But analytically, the statistical community likes to say that that is a sign of a team that doesn't have much margin for error, and over time, you're just not going to be able to win at the same rate. And that did collapse on Mike Vrabel the last 2 years. They had an incredible run where they seemed to be winning two-thirds of the games that were coming down to that last razor's edge. And then it went the other way. And you can think of three or four games last year where the couple games they lost in overtime where they were right there. They probably should have won it in regulation. Other games that were very, very close. They've lost that ability.
The Titans were 21-11, including the postseason in one-score games from 2018 through 2021, according to A to Z Sports. After the Titans lost to the Seahawks last year, according to our friend Teresa Walker, the Titans were 4-7 in one-score games last season. So if you can find a middle ground there, I don't know if 4-7 was the final tally in one-score games last year, but if you can maybe get to 500 in one-score games, get a couple wins that way, maybe that helps. But the good fortune that the Titans had in those games under Mike Vrabel for several years. It bottomed out. I mean, the fact that it lasted as long as it did when such things are usually unsustainable is incredibly impressive. But can the Titans be better in those one-score games this season and help boost their win total?
Well, I think the only way they can be, and I think it caught up with them, why? Because of the depth of the team. When guys started to get injured, they didn't have guys that can step in and at least keep the team help keep the team afloat. So when you're playing those one-score games without your primary guys, you tend to lose now. And that's what we have been screaming, at least I had been screaming for 2 years. This roster isn't where it needs to be from the bottom to the top. They got a lot of good players up top, but if you start to pull away the fabric, underneath is not good. So when you start losing guys in that process, those one-score games you were winning when Derrick Henry was starting or Ryan Tannehill was there or, you know, D-Hop was there, someone else was there. There was a marquee player, Kevin Byard. When those guys are no longer around, whether it be because of injuries or you've traded them away, those one-score games, you're not winning anymore.
The other element that gets talked about in conjunction with the close games is, are you a team that is going to more often be the team that blows out the opponent or the team that's more likely to get blown out? Because in the NFL, where you've got a parity, right? Everything's designed for everybody to be equal. A team like Kansas City, or for a while last year, Miami, you know, they've got the weapons. There are, say, three or four games where you're just going to run the other team right out of the building. That helps when you have that type of explosiveness. The Titans really weren't that team, even in the Vrabel years. I mean, they did for a while. When they put it all together, when Derrick Henry had the 2000, they had some explosiveness there. But they had a lot of teams, I thought, that really didn't have a ton of margin for error. Not that they were going to get blown out, but they just played a lot of games that ended up close. So I don't think this particular team has that kind of explosiveness. Hopefully they are, at least I say this in a way that should not be taken as a knock or anything, but I think they have the sort of mediocre type of roster that will keep them in games. I don't think they're going to get run out of the building too many times, but I think the close game stat is one to watch a lot because I do think they will play a lot of those.
615-737-1025, our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll continue the conversation next. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and our main man, Derek Mason, at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. for the pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 1 road matchup against the Chicago Bears and give you the latest updates before the game. The pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Sundeck Nashville. Tune into 102.5, 106.3 The Game this Saturday for Vanderbilt football. The 1-0 Commodores will take on Alcorn State at home with pregame beginning at 5 and kickoff at 6:30. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingen here with you talking about our Titans predictions. Now, none of us picked the Titans to win double-digit games, but we did have some texters. And as we all know, a lot of this rides on Will Levis, and I stumbled across a story today on The Ringer, the 2024 Quarterback Commitment Index preseason edition. I'm a big fan of The Ringer's coverage of sports in general, but they do a great job with football. So it is pretty funny the categories that they have here. For example, for the New York Jets, I believe the subhead was in a toxic relationship with an older man. The New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers fighting in public. The Philadelphia Eagles and Jalen Hurts. You forgot our anniversary. The Rams and Matthew Stafford. Rereading the prenup. The Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott. So, yes, it was in a toxic relationship with an older man for the Jets and Aaron Rodgers. So just underneath that, in the category, we're just fooling around. The Tennessee Titans and Will Levis. As the author states, quote, "The Titans and Levis are not putting labels on anything yet. It started as something convenient. New head coach Brian Callahan came to Nashville, and Levis was already there. And it seems mostly physical. Look at that frame, the height, the abs, so on and so forth. Levis is boom or bust, someone who finished dead last among qualifying passers in completion percentage last season, but also finished top five in yards per completion. He's going to throw deep or die trying. Callahan is happy to enter cuffing season with Levis, chill by the warm fire until he's got his bearings in the city, and then see whether he wants to DTR to find the relationship in the spring. Right now,
not putting labels on it.
Yeah. Right now, they're just not anything serious. And we know how important of a season this is for Will Levis, because quite frankly, if Levis doesn't work out here, the season goes awry, he doesn't take steps forward, the Titans are going to be bad. They're not going to meet our expectations. They're going to be worse. And the Titans are going to be in a position to potentially draft another quarterback next spring. So
if they're in that boat, that's going to be pretty disappointing.
It would be. But
they are just fooling around. They haven't defined the relationship yet.
It's very casual right now. You know, sometimes they don't answer each other, answer each other's text messages.
Kind of free to date other people.
Right.
Still kind of play the field. They haven't discussed exclusivity.
Yeah. If one texts the other on Saturday night and the other one doesn't get back until Monday morning, that's okay. We're just living our lives. They have yet to define the relationship.
But I wonder, bump into each other at a bar.
Yeah.
When you haven't really texted each other all day and figured out where the other person's going, but you bump into each other.
Yeah.
Because you're just fooling around. Yeah.
Hey, as we know, Nashville is perfect for that kind of stuff. You see it all the time. Down on Broadway.
Now there's one issue I do take, we've talked about this a lot. I think this is a big theme, because the national media has labeled Will Levis as a gunslinger, because that's what he did last year. He was kind of all or nothing. But you've heard Brian Callahan throughout the whole preseason say, we want you to take what's there. Mm-hmm. Don't feel like you've got to go for it all the time. And I think they're going to call plays accordingly. So can he change that reputation? That to me is big, because he's got a label. Will the label be different when we talk a year from now?
I'm not sure there were any guidelines last year for Will Levis in regards to, hey, let's take things step by step, because I don't think they didn't anticipate him playing at all last year. I don't think. I think if it was up to Vrabel, if Tannehill wouldn't have got hurt, Tannehill would have remained the quarterback throughout the season. So I don't think they ever expected, even if the season went left, I don't think they still would have put Will Levis in. I think they wanted to hold him back. But be as it may, he got injured. Offensive line was bad. I don't think there was any real plan for Will Levis once he got in the game. It was like, all right, let's see how this goes. Let's use what you got. Throw it down the field, and let's try to make some plays here.
I also think it's a funny bit. I love it. I think, you know, I'm intrigued by. I want to know what some of the other teams were, because I didn't read the whole article. But the "we're just fooling around" I think is inaccurate, and you guys tell me if you disagree. Because I think a prerequisite of the job, whether or not Will Levis is the real deal, I think Amy Adams Strunk started the search and said, I believe that Will Levis can be good. Let's bring in a coach that will commit to him and bring out the best in him. So to me, that doesn't quite fit the – I mean, I see what they're doing from afar, coming up with some funny thing here. But I think Brian Callahan was brought in to commit and make Will Levis the best he can be.
So some of the other categories, terrible first date, but they're giving him a second chance, the Panthers and Bryce Young.
Oh, boy, it was a terrible first date. Yes. That is for sure. What is the worst first date you've been on, D-Mace? Did you ever have, like, anybody ever slip out? Like, did you ever slip out on the first, you know, you have
Did
the,
I ever slip out?
Yeah.
No, I've never slipped out. No one's ever slipped out on me, man. Come on.
I thought it was. Come on, man. I just wanted to check.
I'm messing with you, Willie.
Nick, about you? Have you ever had somebody ever give you the slip? Did you have to dive on somebody that just wasn't working out?
Yeah.
In the first date?
Yeah, there were a few
Just
times.
A bad vibe?
Yeah, just had to. There was one time I did go out to dinner once, and I was like, you know what? I'm just not feeling it. Now I just paid the bill and kind of left.
Whatever okay, well, situation, I try to make like, the best of it.
It wasn't a big bill. It was just like an appetizer and a few drinks. I was very generous about it. I just said I had somewhere to be.
So. There you go.
Okay, good line.
Good
line. Got somewhere to be. Yeah.
You had to pretend to get the emergency phone call. Uh-huh. What's that? My dog got into the Cheerios.
Oh, man. Now, I have used that one before. Now, let me say, I have used that one before where I had somebody, hey, listen, call me, you know, and so I have used that where somebody called me and said, I'm tired. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I got to go. I got to get out of here. I have used that one. But other than that, it was. Things have always
I don't know why I went with dog and Cheerios. I have a dog and I ate Cheerios for breakfast, so maybe that's where my mind went. Some other ones said I can fix him and actually fixed him. The Seahawks and Geno Smith and the Buccaneers and Baker Mayfield. Love triangle. The Falcons with Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix Jr. Marriage counseling is working. The Cardinals and Kyler Murray. Fighting in public, the Eagles and Jalen Hurts.
Oh, wow. That's pretty much accurate. Let's go back to the Will Levis thing right quick before we take this break. I do believe, because Will Levis has one more year under his contract, right? So this year, and I'm not counting this year,
and
but
next year
is his last year. But typically it's like, if we can get something done after the season, let's get it done after the season so we don't have to worry about it going into his last year. I do truly.
Well, actually, no, he's got – this is year
he's
two.
He was a second-round pick, so it's only
right, so
3 years.
It's a four-year
years
deal.
Now?
Yeah.
Okay, so they have 2 years.
They've got – you know, they could use that next year as a gauge. They could use next year as a gauge in the still fooling around. You could still be fooling around.
Yeah, I guess you could take it into next year, but typically – you know,
that's a long hookup.
Yeah,
I'm just
typically
saying.
The female
hookup.
Says, either we're going to do this or we not. And if we're not, I'm walking off. So that may not last too long. I do believe this, and I could be completely wrong. Depending on how Will Levis plays this year, because a lot of it does hinge on him, this team, and in their success, I do believe that if it doesn't look good, like, he doesn't look good. He doesn't seem like he's consistently getting it. I think they are going to go in another direction, or they're going to think seriously about going in another direction. Because, again, I go back to, especially if Richardson has a good season, CJ Stroud has another good season, and Trevor Lawrence puts a whole season together, you're talking about three quarterbacks within your division that are at least three steps ahead of him. We got to make up ground somehow, some way. I'm thinking that's what the Titans are thinking. If Will Levis doesn't show that he can consistently do this, I think there's going to be people in that front office saying we may need to look into the draft. Because we know how Amy Adams is. She'll love you today, but then fire your ass tomorrow if she don't think it's going to work out. She did it to John Robinson. She did it to Mike Vrabel. So she will do it to the quarterback as well if she finds out maybe this just isn't going away. And she has every right to.
Yes.
Because everything points to that stadium.
She is a bit of a wild card. Yeah. She can change her mind quick.
Mike from Shelbyville on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Xavier Leggett, who I believe was drafted by the Panthers, is the bad first date's hilarious friend who is so funny that you stick around to hang out with the friend.
I guess so. I've never experienced that.
When Harry met Sally, that happened. When they went on a double date, they were set up with each other, and their dates ended up getting married.
Oh.
Bruno Kirby and Carrie Fisher, for those that can go back that far.
I don't.
You're not a Harry Met Sally guy?
I mean, I know I'll have what
Billy
she's
Crystal?
I know I'll have what she's having.
Yeah. You've seen that scene.
That's the extent of it. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will make our NFL predictions. We'll predict each division winner.
I got to get the scrolls out.
Got to get the scrolls out. We'll predict our division winners, our wild card teams, and we'll make our Super Bowl selections as well. Coming up next, tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Saturday at 2:30 p.m. for our college football game of the week, Iowa State versus Iowa. Is that the Cy-Hawk Trophy, I believe? The winner of that game gets the Cy-Hawk Trophy, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.